Good afternoon. It's certainly good to see each and everyone who was willing and able to come back this afternoon to worship God and to study another portion of God's Word. This afternoon, I'd like to talk a little bit about growing and growth. And this is something that we realize is important for us to do as Christians today. And as I listened to Brother Dan's lesson this morning, I kind of got to thinking about, as he was talking about the early church, how vital it was for each and every person to grow, because these were people who had been Jews or Gentiles, and they were all new as Christians and learning what it meant to be a Christian. And so spiritual growth was vital at that time, because that's what began the church and strengthened the church. And so we realize today that whether we were raised in the church or we became converted later in life, that one of the things that we need to be mindful of is that we should never stop growing spiritually. Certainly when we reach maturity, our bodies, once we reach 18, 19 years old, our bodies stop growing in that regard. But we know to sustain life, we have to take care of our body. And so spiritually, we have to do the same thing. We have to nurture our spirit, and we have to make sure that our spirit continues to grow. So hopefully some things will be said this afternoon that will help us to understand how important it is that we maintain and look after our spiritual growth. The first scripture I'd like to read this afternoon, and all the scriptures I will be reading are from the King James translation. The first scripture I'd like to read is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 14. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 14. And when he came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Here Jesus talks about the power of faith, and he compares our faith to a mustard seed. Of all the different spices and herbs, a mustard seed is probably one of the smallest seeds there is, and yet if you plant it, it'll grow into a large tree. And so Jesus is trying to illustrate here the importance about having the smallest amount of faith can help us to do things that we didn't think that we could possibly do. Now, certainly Jesus is not suggesting here that if we have faith, we can literally or figuratively move a mountain by picking it up. And that would be literally, I'm sorry. We can't move things with our mind or anything like that. We don't have any supernatural power. But what he's talking about is our faith will enable us to do things that we never thought we could do before. And our faith won't do that unless we allow our faith to grow within ourselves and we nurture and cultivate our spirit so that it does grow. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, and then tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. By and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here Jesus is illustrating this idea of growth and how important it is to understand how and why we're supposed to grow spiritually. And as Jesus often did many times to help people understand a spiritual truth, he illustrated it with something in nature that even the people with little to no education could understand. Because if you didn't have any kind of education in that day, you were probably a farmer or a craftsman, and you understood the importance of maintaining the crops. We see throughout the history of the Jews, as we read through the Bible, times when they were in periods of drought and famine, where there was not enough rain or moisture for the crops to grow. And so this was something that they were mindful about, because their survival depended on it. And so the idea of being able to grow food and understanding how that whole process works was something that was very important to them. And God and Jesus knew that as long as man lived upon the earth, that food would be vital. I mean, sometimes in the times we live in now, some people might think that if the world lasts another 100, 200 years, everybody's going to be eating processed food out of a tube like the astronauts used to. But we realize that in order for life to continue to be sustained upon the earth, that crops are going to have to be grown. And so this is a basic principle that everybody understands. And Jesus uses this illustration to show the importance of growth and how we cannot let the weeds or the lack of root or anything like that prevent us from doing the things that God wants us to do. So we ask ourselves the question, why must we grow? I'd like now to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Paul's speaking here about spiritual growth and how it's perpetuated. He's kind of chastising the Corinthians here because they were still being too earthly and too, that's what carnal means, too earthly in their thinking. It's like they were kind of disputing about who was the better Christian based on who converted them or who baptized them. And Paul was trying to help them understand they had the wrong mindset. They were thinking about earthly things instead of spiritual things. It didn't matter who converted them. What was important was that they were converted and that they were supposed to be growing spiritually, but they were kind of stunting their spiritual growth by still being too concerned about things of the world. And this really, again, this scripture really brings home the important concept of growing as a Christian. It's vital to the existence of God's kingdom that we continue to grow spiritually. And as older people begin to age and their strength and their endurance to do those kind of things begins to waver, we need to make sure that young people are being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they can carry on that work. So that idea that there should constantly be growth going on is very important for us to consider and keep in mind. Now we might ask ourselves the question, how can we grow spiritually? I'd like now to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and begin reading in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so as an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So one thing that we need to consider when we think about growth is the idea that God rewards our willingness. And that's our willingness to do the things that he asks us to do in the way that he asks us to do them. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 51. Suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oftentimes we might hear people ask, how can a loving God allow children to starve or allow many of the violent things that happen in the earth to happen? And they obviously never read verses like this from the New Testament. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that being a Christian will make our lives on earth easier. In fact, most of the scriptures that we can look at point to the fact that we might have to give up some things. We might have to give up relationships. We might have to give up lifestyles. We might have to give up even living in a place where we live in order to be able to move somewhere where it's more beneficial for us to be a Christian. And so this idea of our willingness to do the things that God asks us to do is something that we need to take a strong consideration about. And realize that our willingness to serve God and to do his will is rewarded by serving God to the best of our ability. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So we need to realize that sometimes in order to grow spiritually, it means to cast off some of the things in life that cause us to not put God first.
The next thing we need to realize is that God rewards our worship.
I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There are many people who say that they don't believe in organized religion, so they think they have their own way of getting in touch with God, or they have their own personal relationship with God. But we realize that God is very specific about how he wants us to worship him through his Son. And it's vital for us to do those things if we want God to accept that worship. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruit shall ye know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This passage of Scripture tells us that there is a right way and a wrong way to worship God. Because Jesus here says that there are going to be people on the day of judgment that are going to fully expect to enter into heaven. And they're going to want to tell Jesus all the things that they did in his name. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. Because they weren't doing it the right way. They didn't consult the Scriptures and make sure they were worshiping correctly. So their worship was not accepted by God. And because their God, they did not worship God properly, then their reward is not going to be the one that they thought they were going to receive. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Our fruit will distinguish us from other people on the day of harvest. If we've truly done the things that God expects us to do, if we've lived the life that he has directed for us to live, and we've done the things he asks us to do, then we can expect to be the wheat at the harvest that's gathered into the barn, which is represented in this parable by heaven. We realize that when real seeds are planted, if you plant a watermelon seed, you're going to get a watermelon plant. But we do realize as human beings that God gives us free will and we can choose. We don't have to be the tares. We can be the wheat. But that's up to us of our free will to decide we want to do what God would have us to do. And then we can be converted into wheat, and we don't have to suffer the fate of those who are among the tares. Another thing we I'm sorry I messed up there. God rewards our work. That refers to the Scriptures that I just read about the importance of being found on the day of judgment, to be found those who have done everything that we can to please God to the best of our ability. If we've done those things, we can expect to receive the reward that God has promised us. And if we haven't done those things, we can also expect to receive the reward that's been set aside for those who don't exercise their free will to do the things that God would have them to do. We realize that those are the ones who will spend an eternity in torment, and we certainly don't want to be in that particular group. Finally, the last thing I'd like for us to think about this afternoon as far as this idea of growth is that God, through Jesus, rights our wrongs. We realize that if we read in the Bible, or we hear the Bible preached, if we accept the things and believe the things that are taught from the Scripture, we realize that would cause within us a repentance. It helps us to realize that the reward that we're going to receive for how we've lived is not going to be anything pleasant. We're going to spend an eternity in torment if we haven't done the things that God would want us to do. And so that should cause within us a repentance, a change of heart and mind, and a determination to live the way God wants us to live, so we don't have to spend an eternity tormented to be more or less tortured forever and ever for the few years that we lived here upon the earth. Nobody wants that, but few people are willing to do anything to change that destination for themselves. So we realize that if we hear the word of God, it causes within us a repentance. It causes within us an idea that we need to change the way that we've been living and make our lives right with God, and to spend whatever time we have left upon the earth to serve Him to the best of our ability. We also realize that if that's the course of action that our free will has chosen for us to do, then we certainly realize that we need to confess before men that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized for our sins, because we realize that none of these rewards that we talked about are possible if we don't do those things. So we realize that it's important for us to become a child of God, but that's not the end of our spiritual journey. That's the beginning, because once we become a Christian, we realize that we need to continue to grow, not only to maintain our own salvation, but to influence all of those around us to reach out and grasp that as well. And so hopefully our spiritual growth can influence them to seek out that same life for themselves. If there be one here this afternoon who desires the service of the church, won't you come while we stand and sing the invitation song?